In terms of Buddhism, what is the ultimate practice? It is to purify these afflictions. And after we've purified ourselves, we're still a sentient being. And knowing that we are a sentient being and that we can purify, and we do purify these afflictive emotions, is really of great merit. Maybe we're not able to go and help others. However, we still understand how to purify our afflictions. This is of incredibly great merit. And in the beginning, you could say this is even more important than benefiting sentient beings. Gradually, through practice, decrease these afflictive emotions and all of these doubts and hesitancies. And we can do this through study and reflection and through practice. And then we ourselves become more clever, more wise, more kind, become more pleasant, and we are able to move easily with sentient beings and to help them. In this way, we can improve ourselves, improve our meditation, our wisdom. In meditative concentration, there is wisdom. If we don't have this meditative concentration or stability, then we don't have wisdom. Why is it that our mind is so scattered? It's because we haven't stabilized it enough. If our meditative stability is sufficient, then wisdom does not give rise to afflictions, and compassion does not give rise to enemies. Externally, people might not think so much of you. However, within your own mind, there is this radiance, this luminosity. Just because we are practitioners doesn't mean that we are not going to face difficulties and hardships in life and that things are not going to change. All of these will still happen. Just what you will have is a very strong, stable state of mind to face all of this. Other people may see you and think, this poor person. However, within yourself, you have great clarity and purity. And within your mind, there's a lot of merit. Externally, we can appear to be very happy and very sociable. However, what is going on within our own mind and the suffering we may be experiencing, no one else can really understand. And this is because our practice is insufficient. In daily life and in work, it's very important that we have a stable mind. In this case, then when we meet these complicated things in life, it's not going to influence us so much. External phenomena might always be changing, but the state of mind of mine won't be changing. It doesn't matter how the weather changes, my state of mind won't change. Somebody that can maintain a state of mind like this is the most fortunate person, the happiest person. They're not influenced by what's happening in the external world, and they also don't give rise to afflictions. Now, are we able to do this? Of course we are. If we really practice well, we can be able to do this within 1 or 2 years. Not only that, when we are old, we really have a very good state of mind. Why is this? Because they've already established a very good foundation within their mind. When we're old, what can we rely on? We can only really rely on our mind. If our state of mind isn't very good, then we're not able to really rely on anything. It's very important that we meditate. And if we do, the more and more old we become, the happier we become, the more fortunate we become, the more pure we are. And we won't experience a lot of suffering when we are old. Why? Because the energy of our mind is greater than the energy of the external world. If we want to make preparations for our old age, most important is the state of our mind, not the car that we have or that we have a house. If we have a very good state of mind, it doesn't matter where we go when we are old, we will be fortunate and happy. If we don't have a good state of mind, it's very possible that we'll be very unhappy, and we have these preparations for when we are old. There's no guarantee we will be that old, and if we are that old, maybe be very dissatisfied. It's very important, sooner rather than later, that we look after our physical health, and also so important is that we prepare to start looking after our mental health. If somebody has a very good state of mind, and when they get old, then they need people to look after them, they are full of gratitude and they're quite easy and maybe even pleasant to look after. However, if we have a very unstable state of mind, And then we get old, our body changes, and our mind is unhappy, then it's very difficult for others to take care of us. When you're old, you yourself are unhappy, and also this brings a lot of unhappiness for the family. If, on the other hand, we are have a very good state of mind, then when our body changes, we get old, when the family looks after us, it's very easy to look after us. Everybody's quite happy. And this is something we all have to face one day. We really need to train our minds. Our body will become old. Our mind never gets old. It can always stay happy. It can always stay pure. It can always feel abundant. However, if we don't train our mind, then we will get old. And at that time, it might be that our body is unhappy and our mind is unhappy. And then the time that we spend in suffering and discontent is much longer. This is not something only for Buddhists. Every person is going to experience birth, old age, sickness, and death. And in terms of facing this and dealing with this, it's very important that we have a good, stable state of mind. And so it's important that we start from now establishing a good foundation. And we can practice and we can go on retreats. And in the process of doing this, we are establishing a very good, stable mind to be able to deal with later problems, for instance, when we are aging. I've mentioned before that death for a really good practitioner is not a problem at all. It's not something that they fear. They can handle it quite comfortably. And not only that, it is also an opportunity for attaining liberation or enlightenment, and also a preparation for our next life. And they understand death, and they know that it is not a final situation. It is not the end. It's just a process. It will continue. There's a continuation. It will help in determining our next life, or even that we may go to Amitabha's pure lands. And they could, in the process of dying or in the bardos, attain liberation. However, for somebody who doesn't understand death, this could be the most frightening thing in their life. It's just like people who do bungee jumping or skydiving. For some of the people, they have the state of mind that this is a lot of fun, this is a great adventure, and they don't have any fear for doing this. However, there are other people that have great fear for this, and they dare not go, and they won't even look and see. If this is happening, they'll turn around and they won't look at it. And just like in this example, people have these different states of mind. It's like facing death. A very good practitioner wouldn't be worried at all, no fear at all in facing death. However, for those that aren't practitioners and don't understand death, it might very well be like the person who has the fear of heights. They won't be able to look at it or even think about it. If we practice and we understand death, it can change for all of us, and we have less and less fear and willingly face it. However, if we don't, and we're always putting it off, we don't want to talk about it, we always want to avoid it, we never want the subject to be brought up, and always harbor this fear for death, which doesn't have to be the case if we practice and we understand death. Isn't that the case? That usually what we don't understand is what we fear. People don't understand, they don't have any experience through practice or preparation. As part of life, it's very important that we maintain a healthy body and a healthy mind. And we must live this world with awareness, with clarity. And also the same, when we leave this world, when we die, we must leave it with clarity. Clear about where I'll be going next? Will it be Amitabha's pure land? Will it be human life again? And this will be our choice, and it'll depend on what we've done in terms of cause and effect, positive and negative. Some people have a choice, and other people don't have a choice. Those that don't have the choice are the ones that never respected cause and effect. They didn't practice, and they didn't support virtuous activities. They engage in all sorts of negative activities through their whole life, and then they are taken by the winds of karma to their next destination, their next life, which could be any of the six realms. If we choose to engage in positive activities, virtuous activities, practice, benefit sentient beings, then we will have a choice at the time of death. Really, whenever you have time, engage in virtuous activities. It is really very positive and beneficial. And do this according to your own personal situation.